You know, last week I started to talk about not drifting away. Go ahead and be turning again to your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning verse 1, it says, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? God is saying to us here that we gotta pay very careful attention to everything that Jesus has said to us and is saying to us. Because like I said a few weeks ago, Jesus is God's final word to us. There is no longer any message coming after this. Do you hear me? There is nothing else after this. Jesus, God in the flesh, coming to this earth, was his final message to us that he created and cares about a great deal. And so, if we don't pay attention to what he said, we're in serious trouble. Because nobody else is coming after this. I know Muslims believe that Muhammad came after Jesus. I don't believe that for one second. And the reason being, Jesus already told us, all those who came before me and will come after me are a bunch of liars. Are you with me? If you think about it, if you go study other religions, no other religious leader dared make the kind of claims that Jesus made. They couldn't, because they would be lying if they did. And so this is God's final word to us. And as a result, if you and I don't pay attention to this, we're in serious trouble. It tells us here that the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. It says, how shall we escape if we ignore what Jesus is saying to us? You know the story in Luke chapter 1? Because of time, I'm not going to go there. But you can write the verses down. Luke chapter 1 from verses 11 to 20. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and told Zechariah that he was going to have a son. And he was to call him John. And what did Zechariah do? He wanted assurances. He says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And what did Zach say? Sorry, what did Gabriel say? What did the angel Gabriel say to him? He says, because you did not believe, you are not going to be able to speak. And he comes out from after being in the temple, and he couldn't talk. We know at least he couldn't talk for 9 months. I don't know about you. That's a long time, not being able to talk. Try that out sometime. You couldn't do it for 24 hours. Let alone a week, let alone 9 months. You know, some of us who have, a lot of us who have kids, you know how it is? You're in the car. If you've never played this game, you need to play it. It works. When you get in the car and you tell the kids, guys, for the next half an hour, nobody's going to say anything. I want us all to be quiet. See how long those kids are able to keep their mouth shut. But imagine not being able to talk because you didn't believe the words of an angel. He got punished right there for at least 9 months. Because remember, his wife Elizabeth was not pregnant when the angel showed up talking to Zechariah. Are you with me? Okay? You say, well, Richard, maybe, what is his name? John the Baptist was a premier. Or what do you call it? Premier? A premier? The Bible doesn't say that. Okay, so I'm going with 9 months. Are you with me?
Yeah.
The point is, even when an angel spoke and you didn't believe, God punished you. Let alone when Jesus is talking to us and we're not listening.
And he's saying, that's why we got to pay very careful attention so that we don't drift away. Because let me tell you something. If God punished man when they didn't listen to angels, he's going to punish us if we're not listening to his son, Jesus. Jesus is a lot higher than the angels. As a matter of fact, that's what he begins to talk to us about in the second part of chapter 1. Are you with me? You see, this man wanted assurances. God didn't give him any. When God speaks, you and I need to listen and pay attention. Why? Because the Bible is the inspired word of God. It is simple to understand. It is not complicated. This is not just another book. As a matter of fact, it is the book. Where I come from, we call it the good book. Okay? This is the good book. Are you with me? This is the most important book in your household. This is the most important book in my household. This is the most important book in my life. Amen. I have read a lot of books. And I'm still reading a lot of books. As I'm standing before you right now, there are 5 books I'm reading at the same time. That's how I read. I don't do one of these, you know, you pick one up and you finish it and you pick the next one. I can't do it. I don't know how you guys do it. I got about 5-6 books I'm reading at the same time. So I read a chapter, you know, put a marker on it, grab another one, grab the next one, put a marker, and I just keep going until I finish it. But let me tell you something. I've read a lot of books, but this is the most important one. This is the most important book you and I can read, because it not just talks about this life, it talks about eternity. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again as I get into my lesson. This life as we know it, brothers and sisters, is very short. Okay? This is it. This much, the 60, 70, 80 years, 90 if you're lucky, is this. Eternity just goes and goes and goes and goes. That's why we got to pay attention to what this is saying, because this is what talks about all that. Are you with me? And so I've simply titled my lesson this morning, Why I Love the Bible. And I want you to ask that same question of yourself. Why do you love the Bible? Do you see this book as a bunch of rules and regulations you have to follow? Or are you truly in love with it? Let's talk about why I love the Bible, the good book. Number one, very obvious. The Bible is God's word. Okay, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. You knew that was going to be my first point. Duh. I love the Bible because it's God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, a passage we're very familiar with, it says, all scripture is inspired of God and is useful for teaching, correcting, and rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It doesn't say some scriptures. It says all of it. From the in Genesis 1 to the amen at the end of Revelation, it's all from God. Are you with me? And that's why you and I cannot treat this book like a menu. I'm sorry. This ain't Macaroni Grill. This ain't Cheesecake Factory. You can't say, well, you know what? Give me... You know, I like my steak very well done, medium rare. You know, can I substitute potatoes for the French fries? And what would you like to drink? A sweet tea. No, I changed my mind. Unsweet tea with water and lemon. No ice, please. Some of us, that's the way we treat the Bible. All of it is from God. This is the entire menu. God wants us to feed on it. Every single part of it. Remember this. Everything he's trying to communicate with us is in here. That's why you can't afford to miss some section. Because there's a lesson in here for you. at every stage of your life, every single day. It's in there for a reason. Are you with me? But see, all of it is inspired of God.
Now, I know there are certain parts of it we don't like to hear. When I was growing up, I used to love the Psalms. Not just all of them, certain Psalms. I love certain Psalms because, you know, in my, to use the lingo of the day, they spoke to me. And I will read them over and over and over again. Now, don't start talking to me about the scriptures that talk about fornication and immorality. I didn't want to hear anything. I didn't want to hear about that. But I knew it was in the book. Are you with me? But you see, we got to accept the whole thing. Because it's the inspired word of God. This is the Almighty talking to you. This is the Almighty talking to me. Do you realize this is the only book that came from heaven? Yes, God used man to write this stuff down, but God is the author. That's why it's still the number one bestseller in the world, amen? Amen. And it will continue to be until Jesus comes back. God wrote this book. Now, he spoke through men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It has power. That's what it tells us in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. It is living and active. When you read this book, this ain't USA Today. I remember when USA Today came out. It was the coolest thing at the time because up to that time, everything was in black and white. All of a sudden, you're reading the newspapers and it's in color. And as a matter of fact, that's how they cornered the market. A lot of people started buying and reading USA Today because they had color in it. I did too. But this ain't USA Today. This is the word of God. Amen. Are you with me? And if you and I would simply get in there, God is trying to communicate with us every single day. You know, out in the middle of America, in the desert, they got these huge satellite dishes aimed out towards space. And those guys, there are people that work there, and all they do all day is sit down and they're listening for signals or signs from, quote-unquote, aliens in outer space. And that's what those dishes are doing there. They spend billions of dollars on this stuff. It's a lot of money. Have you ever wondered, okay, so an alien communicates with us. What are we going to say? Why are we spending all this money? Okay, that's a different day, different sermon. But those things exist. By the way, how many of you have seen Man of Steel? Oh, man, you got to go watch it. Okay, you got to go watch it. I saw it the other night. It was flat awesome. Okay? It was flat awesome. If you haven't watched it yet, you need to get over there. All right? You're going to love it. If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. I can just... Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I know those of you who are going to come up to me. You say, hey, Richard, I didn't like it. I want my money back. I know you already. So don't bother coming to me. But it's a good movie, all right? But this is God communicating with us. It's right here. We can have our own copy. We can read it as much as we want. We can take it anywhere we want. Okay? Now, I know a lot of us now these days, yeah, we're reading the Bible on the iPad and the phone and all that kind of stuff. You know, you guys have issues, man. I'm telling you right now. I mean, I got to hold it in my hand. I got to flip the pages. I got to be able to mark it. Now, I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong. I'm just saying be careful. Because when I'm reading this book, I'm taking notes. I'm writing stuff down. Because it is God talking to me. It is God talking to you. Don't just read it. Take notes. You remember this stuff twice as much if you write it down. This is not rocket science. Oh, no, Mr. Richard, I got this. You know, I just read. No, don't just be reading. Okay, I'm sorry. Write it down. Amen?
The more you write it down, the more the message helps you. We're talking about why I love the Bible. Number two, the Bible is my guide. In Psalm 119 in verse 105. Psalm 119 verse 105. If you know your Bible, you know Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Psalm 119 verse 105. It simply says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. You see, you know how it is when it's dark and you got a flashlight? Okay, what do? You point that flashlight to the ground so that you can see where you're going. Even though you're going to knock into something, you're going to trip, you're going to fall over. The Bible does the same thing as we go through this life. It's like it's a lamp onto our feet. It tells us where to go. It tells us where to step. It tells us where to turn. If you and I are using this, you're in trouble. How do I know? Look at the mess you've created of your life already. This is not rocket science. This is the God who created you and me and put us on this earth. And he's saying, trust me, listen to me, follow me. I will guide you through this. I will walk you through this. But it starts from you and I getting to the book on our own and loving it. Amen? Amen? The Bible has saved me from so much. I couldn't even begin to tell you. It has saved me from a lot. It is truly my guide. Again, I love this about God, that he didn't just create us and just dumped us on this earth. He gave us this book to guide us. It has obviously a lot of books. It has a lot of characters in them. And it's amazing how you study these characters out and you go, wow, that's me. Guess what? That's why God put them in the book. To realize that you're not unique. To help us realize that, you know what? There are some guys that went before us. They made mistakes. And we're going to blow it too. And when they blew it, here's what they did to get back on track. Are you with me? Do you realize God could have just written a book where everything was perfect? Do you know how encouraging it is for me? When I read, for instance, where Moses, when God told him, for instance, he was supposed to speak to the rock, and in his anger, he struck the rock. I say, you know what? Okay. Now, that one move cost Moses a great deal. He never entered the promised land as a result of it. What that tells me is that I got to watch my anger. Because if I don't, I may not make it to the promised land. That's why that story is in the book. So I'm not just looking at, this guy, the Bible says he was the most humble man on the face of the earth and all the different things he did. I'm looking at that aspect that pertains to me. Are you with me? That's the way you and I are meant to read these books and these characters and study them out. They're in there to help us. The Bible helps us to make the right decisions. The Bible helps us to have the right priorities. The Bible tells me what to do and how to react in different situations. It's insightful. It's practical. It's convicting. It helps me face the future with confidence. That's why I'm not afraid of tomorrow. Why? Because God is already there. Amen. And he's promised me he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I'm not worried about my future. My future is taken care of. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. Amen? Amen? The Bible is our guide. But the question, brothers and sisters, is, are we consistent in obeying the word? It's about your obedience. It's about my obedience. That's all it is. Even if you've never heard a sermon on that subject, even if nobody ever preaches about it, you owe it to yourself to find out what the Bible is saying about different things. Are you with me? You can't depend on my sermon to get to heaven. Let me repeat myself. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you come in every week to worship God and to listen. But my words are not going to get you into heaven. All I do every week is hopefully get you stirred up so that the rest of the week you're drawing closer to your God by looking into His Word. That's all I'm doing. Say, well, Richard hasn't preached about this yet. You're going to keep on waiting because I may not preach about that subject before you die or before I die. Are you with me?
Yep.
You owe it to yourself to get in there. You know, somebody says something or you hear something that you've never looked at from scriptures before. Great Bible study. Go do it. It'll take you a few days, a few weeks, but so be it. But when you're done, you're going to have a lot of conviction about that subject. Are you with me? Very, very important. Number three, we've got to keep going here. The Bible helps me to know God better. I'm sorry, you're not going to know God better by watching the Discovery Channel or by listening to National Geographic. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. The Bible will help you better. This is His book. There's no place like the Old Testament when you see who God is. Oh, Mr. Richard, the Old Testament is kind of long and boring. You better get in there. I can honestly tell you, most of what I know about God today, and I'm still learning, I learned from the Old Testament. Man, God was incredible. The kind of things He did and the way He dealt with people and the kind of things, I mean, it's just amazing to me. And then you start reading the New Testament and you see Jesus in 3 short years. Just like, wow! If we take this God and put Him in human form, this is what it looks like. And that is the person I am meant to be following. I got no excuse now. None. But the Bible is amazing. The more you read the Bible, the more you get to know God. I don't know about you, there is so much of God to know. Bill, how long have you been a Christian? How long have you been a disciple? 34 years. Do you know everything to know about God? No. Okay. I'm sorry? Not even half. Okay. Bishop, how long have you been a disciple?
Since 1976.
See, Bishop is asking me to do the math. 37 years. Do you know everything about God that there is to know?
Absolutely not,
okay. Let me go to another bishop over here. How long have you been a disciple, bro? 32 years. Do you know everything about God that there is to know?
No.
Oh, okay. Moose, how long have you been a disciple?
3 years?
2 years. Do you know everything about God that there is to know? Okay. Do you see the pattern here? We got people in their 30s. We got somebody 2 years old as Christian, and they're saying they don't know God enough.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, that's why it's going to take us our entire lifetime.
Amen.
Every single day, God is trying to communicate with us and teach us something. It's going to take your entire life. It's going to take my entire life. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the exciting thing about this. And that's why I don't find this book boring. Are you kidding me? Boring? Boring does not even come into the equation. There is so much in here. I mean, just reading Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 4 verses, I mean, it stopped me in my tracks. I've been at this now for about 4 weeks. Because again, you read one thing, it will take you into all kinds of different directions. That's why it's good to write things down. And then a month later, you may come back to what you studied in the first place. Are you with me?
You can't put a lot of stuff up here. Amen? See, again, another thing I love about the scriptures is the more you read the Bible, the more your faith increases. Romans 10:17. See, I really want to grow in my faith. Then get into your Bible. Because you start reading about what God does and how he works in people's lives, and when he starts doing it in your life, guess what? Your faith increases. Amen? It's not rocket science. I can honestly tell you that this book, the Bible, has transformed me. It has transformed my family. It needs to transform you. It needs to transform your family. Amen. This is the most important thing that's going on. I got news for you. The Bible has answers for questions you will not find on Google. Y'all didn't hear me. This book has answers for questions that you will not find on Google, on the internet. Because it talks about the soul. It talks about the spirit. Amen?
Amen?
But the more you read the scriptures, the more you get to know God better. Again, it's not rocket science. Number four. Why isn't this thing moving? Okay. He did it from back there. Thank you, Larry. The Bible gives me hope. You know, in Matthew 4:4, you know what Jesus says? Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. But you see, the Bible gives us hope. The Bible talks about perseverance. It is the Bible that talks about this place called heaven. In other words, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what you're going through, from reading the scriptures, you can be assured that, you know what, that problem, that storm too will pass. If you will simply hang in there with God, that things will get better. It is the Bible that gives you that hope. And that's why you guys will hear me say many times, this is what gets me out of bed in the morning. Believe me, I can understand why people are clinically depressed. I don't know how people live in this life without this book. I can understand why some people take their lives. Because they're looking for answers in all the wrong places. It is the Bible that gives us hope. It is the Bible that helps us keep putting one foot in front of the next and keep on going, no matter what. Are you with me? That's why you and I cannot afford to take this book for granted. That's what should keep you going. That's what keeps me going. That no matter what happens, God will see me through it. How do I know? Because he's seen so many other people through it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
As a child of God, he's going to see you through it. Because he promised, never will he leave you, never will he forsake you. Oh, this is good stuff. I mean, you look at this world, it is a big mess. This world is messed up. It's jacked up. A million times over. And when I read this book, I'm like, God, can you please come back today? I'm ready to go. My bags are packed. And he says, Richard, your job ain't done yet. That's why you're still here. Okay. So I'm still here today. What am I supposed to be doing? You're still alive today. What are you supposed to be doing?
Amen.
God didn't wake you up so you can just go to some job and go do some. No. I'm sorry. Whatever it is that you and I are doing, how's it going to impact eternity? Amen?
Amen.
This is what gives us hope. This is what keeps us going. This is what should keep you going. Again, as you and I read it every day, it replenishes you. It sustains you. It builds you up. Amen? Today is Sunday, June 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. You are being sustained this morning, I promise you, because of all the different meals you had this week.
Nobody in here has kept on going this week based on something they ate just last Sunday. How do I know that? I know you've not been fasting for a week without food and water. I know you haven't. You've had some veggies and some fruits and some potatoes and whatever it is you like to eat, steak and all that. You've had it all week. You're eating every day. What do you think happens when we're quote-unquote snacking on the Almighty? You're going to see the effects spiritually. Again, this is not rocket science. You got to get into your Bible. I'm sorry. There's no getting around it. Amen? But it is the Bible that gives us hope. It is the Bible that replenishes us. I've always wondered about this. Can you imagine if God dealt with us based on the amount of time we give to Him? We'll all be in trouble. Every single one of us. If God responded to us based on how we respond to Him, whether through prayer and Bible study, if he gave us back, treated us like we deserve, we're all in trouble. We might as well close up shop and lock up the church. I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about everywhere. Amen? But it is the Bible that gives us hope. It is the Bible that helps us to keep going. Number five, the Bible is the final authority at judgment. That's one of the reasons I love it. You know what it says in John 12? Let's look at this one. In John 12, in verses 47 and 48, if anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. It's a very scary passage. There's going to be a final exam, folks. And everybody's going to take it. You're not going to be able to get a sick note on this one. You know how it is? A final exam is coming up, and you've not been prepared. And all of a sudden, you wake up that morning, and you're not feeling too good. And then you go to the lecturer or your teachers. I'm sorry, can I get a makeup because I wasn't feeling too good, because you want to give yourself time to study. And 9 times out of 10, they'll give you the opportunity. You can take a makeup test. There's no makeup test on this one. The final is the final. Amen? And everybody's going to go through it. I will stand before God one day and give an account of my life. You're going to do the same thing. Every single person, every single king, every single president, name him, they're going to stand before God and give an account of their life. You are going to do the same thing too. The question is, are you prepared for that final exam? Because if you flunk this one, this ain't an F. We're talking hell. I don't know about you. I'm not going to hell. Okay? I will die first before going to hell. Guys, I'm not afraid of dying. You've heard me say this so many times, and I'll say it again. One of my prayers that I pray very often, God, if you knew I'm going to turn my back on you, take my life before that happens. I'm not afraid of dying, but I ain't going to hell. I mean, this world is messed up. Okay? I can't imagine living in this earth and going through all this nonsense and all this rubbish. And they're not making it to heaven. Are you kidding me? You can take Atlanta, you can take Gwinnett County all you want. You can have it. Because I'm not going to forfeit my soul. I hope you are not going to forfeit your soul. But you see, it is the Bible that gives us that perspective. And so if we're not listening to Jesus, let me tell you something. You give God no choice. God doesn't send anybody to hell. I believe we send ourselves to hell by not obeying him, by not doing what he says. God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they repent. Amen?
Amen.
But the Bible is the final authority. You see, when you realize that this is your final exam, it changes your perspective in life. It really does. It helps me to fight temptation every single day. And most importantly, it helps me not to play and toy with my eternity. Okay? Now look in Hebrews chapter 12. And this is where we'll end today. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 2, it's told us to pay attention to Jesus so that we don't drift away. And in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. Graeme, advance the slide. Larry, next slide. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, and now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words, once more, indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
That's not me talking, people. That's God talking. We got to make sure that we're listening to Jesus. We got to make sure that we're living our lives according to this. And so why do you love the Bible this morning? I think you need to come up with your own reasons. You need to come up with your own points. I mean, that list could go on forever. I just put five basic ones up there. Or let me put it this way, five obvious ones. Come up with your own list. You know, it is through this book that I've come to know that God loves me. How much did he love me? He loved me so much that he allowed his son to come into this world and to die in my place. And because of that, one day I get to spend eternity with this incredible creator of the universe. Wow. You're not going to find that in Time magazine or in some newspaper. You're going to find out. You got that from the Bible. And so as we close today, I want us to sing a song that we all know very well. And the kids love it. But I want you to sing it like you mean it. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Next slide, please.
Jesus loves me. If you died, heaven to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yeah, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Don't forget to pray with your families tonight. God bless.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for just the wonderful sermon Richard had for us this morning, that we could all come here and worship you together. I just pray that all of us will take that sermon to heart. Remember that we all love the Bible, and it's got a lot of great things in there for us, and that we can learn a lot from that. I thank you so much for it, for your son, for everything you've done for us and given us. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.